welcome to Aggressive Couch number 30, Free Meal to Beaver. I'm Ron.
I'm Dave.
And you can still find us on iTunes and at AggressiveCouch.com. And, of course, our ever popular and ever-expanding Doesn't Come to My BlackBerry, AggressiveCouch@gmail.com.
All right.
I've only set it up 3 times so far, and it's still not working correctly.
Well, there you go.
Maybe if I had an iPhone.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen. But I guess we'll talk about things like we usually do. We'll talk about some Slack, and we're going to do some double teaming today.
Yeah.
And talk about the arcade conspiracy.
Yeah, and I'm really going to be even more out of it than usual this week.
All right, good. But before we do get into all that, I just have a few...
I could hardly even stand up straight at work, all right? I'm serious. I'm sorry, I'm sleepy.
And probably no one noticed, did they?
No, until I pointed it out.
Yeah. I suggest you don't sleep tonight either.
No.
It'll make it even a little more interesting. All right, well, before we do get started, are you watching the World Cup? Because I'm not.
No.
All right, let's not cover any more soccer. I swear, when I hear people talk about soccer, it just makes me nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exciting at all. But anyway, the one thing I did...
It's ice hockey without the ice.
Yes.
And no sticks.
No, but at least ice hockey, they're hitting each other. And,
occasionally, yeah.
And shoving each other into the glass.
Mm-hmm. And checking the referee.
Yeah. We're Americans. We hate soccer. But I have to bring this up. When I was in this gym last week, I walked into the locker room, and of course there's this older guy, and he's wearing the old tighty whities.
Yeah.
For some reason, a lot of the older guys still wear tighty whities. He was bent over, and I walked in, and he had the tighty whities, and there was a big chocolate strip in the middle of it. I was dying laughing. I mean, if you're going to wear that to a gym, you should at least clean that strip out of it. I mean, you couldn't miss it. It wasn't even like a quarter inch long. That thing was like 4 inches long.
Bacon burgers.
Yes. So, isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And I have one more thing that I've seen. Today, when I was online, I seen this ad for Toyota.
Yeah.
I guess they're running this campaign called Swagger Wagon. And this, if you see this, you understand why people hate white people. Because it's, you know, I guess it's like a white couple, of course.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're trying to be cool because they're in a minivan.
Yeah.
But it's universally known. No matter anyone's driving a minivan, it's not cool.
Yeah.
If you're driving a conversion van, that's a step up, but usually means you're a rapist and a murderer. That's, you know, it doesn't make you cool.
Yeah, not an ounce of testosterone anywhere near a minivan, sorry.
No. All right, I guess we don't want to double team yet, do we?
No.
All right. Well, let's talk about big hot polls.
All right, the public opinion polls are so far off that it's a joke.
Okay. You're not just talking about, like, for hamburgers or video games.
No,
right?
I'm talking political, mainly. Specifically, like, you know, have you ever noticed that in the few weeks before leading up to an election, one poll will show, like, one candidate, like, way in the lead, and another one shows somebody else, another one shows somebody else?
Yeah.
They're all taken on the same day?
Yeah.
And... always, it's like, you know, maybe the night before the election, they're actually pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But for weeks beforehand, you know, everyone has candidates just going up and down like crazy.
But you have to see the fine print. Plus, what is it, like 5% either way?
Yeah, but I'm not talking 5%.
50% either way.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I agree with you on that.
Yeah, but also, like, put just public opinion polls in general on anything.
Yeah. Well, I read the one article that you had the link to.
Yeah.
And that guy made a good point. They never ask you just, like, a general yes or no.
Yeah.
Because the questions are confusing, like the whole thing with the climate change thing.
Yeah.
Because when you read those questions, they basically all kind of answer yes, but they don't.
Yeah.
Then they come up with some kind of formula or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you divide this by the moon's radius times the fifth day of the lunar module. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. But yet, how much of our politicians rely on things like polls to know what their constituents are thinking?
Yeah. Well, it's all, like, everything else and hot gay action, everything is all polls in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, there's long polls for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the president, I mean, they have polls all the time. They're calling people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever gotten called on one of those big hot polls either.
I got called on one once. Yeah.
And how was it? How did it make you feel?
Asking, they were asking about consumer products.
Would you buy this blender if it A, set on fire, B, wouldn't set on fire, or C, both, or D, if it sets on fire and cuts some of your fingers off?
No, actually, they were asking. It was about movies, actually. Yeah. I had absolutely no clue. I didn't even know who the actors were or anything.
What were they asking you? Have you seen?
Just asking about different, you know, what type of movie would you be interested in, and what sort of actor would you want to see in the starring role?
Long I just kind of silver.
Pissed, I just kind of picked like C and D.
I would like to see Tom Cruise in a gay porno.
Yeah, actually, I think I had like a movie about like a white basketball coach played by a black guy or something. I knew one of the actors was white and one was black and the other guys I'd never heard of.
Yeah. You could make a movie like that, but then I guess people would think it's extremely racist if you just had, you know, other races play all the other races.
Yeah. Well, if you did it round robin, it would probably nobody would mind. They'd say, oh, it's art.
Thinly veiled racism.
No, I mean, if you had a mixed race cast and you had, like, white, one, you know, this guy was playing this role,
yeah,
and everyone was just swapped one role over,
yeah,
that would make sense.
Well, that would be
great. If you just had, like, you know, if it was supposed to be mixed race, you just got all white people to play.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see the Blazing Saddles movie. Where is the reimagining of Blazing Saddles?
I think I would kill to stop that from happening.
But going back to long, hard polls.
Yeah.
It's almost, we've talked about, you know, like slow news day stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of equate polls to.
Yeah.
Because no one really knows. And if you're watching some news channel, isn't that poll sort of geared towards that news channel?
Yeah. And also, you know, the one thing that you can't get accurate results if you just ask broad questions.
Yeah.
But you can't interpret a broad result from the specific questions.
Yeah.
If you ask specific questions, you can only draw the specific answers. You can't, if you ask people, do you think this? Well, then that's all the information you have. You can't draw any real conclusions from that.
But for a poll like that, though, you can, because if you would make it just a simple yes or no,
mm-hmm.
then you would know if people agree on one issue or not.
But there's so much more to it than that. Also, like, do you support Obama? You know, that's awfully general. But then ask, you know, do you support like this or that? And what if the answer isn't yes or no? What if it's kinda? Or did you support the health care bill? Well, parts of it.
Yeah.
Parts of it went too far. Parts didn't go far enough.
But the questioning is still flawed.
Yeah.
Because it's, you're basically, a lot of the questions are you're like chasing your tail.
Yeah.
I mean, most people want just a general broad, I know maybe if you get into the, you know, the data part of it, well, we got to collect this. But, I mean, for what they're asking, you could ask a simple yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess really if you want to dig more, you could. But for what they're asking,
yeah,
it's almost, it's not.
What's it going to be, boy? Yes or no?
Yeah, just answer. It's like with politicians. You know, this is maybe a little off, but you know when you see a politician and they're talking and someone asks them a question?
Yeah.
You just want them to go yes or no.
But unfortunately, that's never the answer. Especially when you've got something really complicated like, you know, U.S.-China relations. That's not a yes or no question.
That isn't, but if you say, do you support dudes banging other dudes?
But in what, I mean, do you support it? Or do you support doing it in public? Do you, and you know, if you give a simple answer, the other side's going to try to twist it. And you know, we allow the other side to get away with it.
Well, then or the gay marriage question, do you mind if gays get married? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Not, you got to go outside at night and then wait till the sun comes up. Then if you go to the street. And then there's, they're basically just, I know they're trying to give you an answer, but then it's so long-winded.
Yeah.
You don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And the answer is basically chased itself and brought up more questions.
Exactly. It's not, I say these things aren't simple. So you can't just answer in a question and answer town hall thing.
Yeah.
It requires almost a book as to exactly where you stand on a complicated issue.
Yeah.
And who's going to take the time to read that?
But if someone called you up and asked you a question about this cabinet.
Yeah.
They were doing polls on this gun cabinet. And would you find this cabinet to be black or charcoal black or smoke black? It's just black. It doesn't have to be charcoal.
It's green.
Is it green? It looks black from here. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I got like a $100 shotgun and about a $25 .22 rifle in there.
I mean,
the cabinet's worth more than the guns in it.
Some of it is stupidity because, we want all this information. We want all this information. And sometimes you need it. But sometimes things are, yes or no.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you feel if you went over to someone's house for dinner and then said, all right, we're gonna poll everyone here and ask them what they want for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never eat anything, and everyone would just be sitting around hating each other.
Yeah.
If
you had to come up with a unanimous decision,
I mean, how do you feel?
With me, it would work pretty well, because actually this is what Dad, Beck, and I do every Saturday. They have no opinion whatsoever, so I end up having to decide. Then they end up resenting the fact that I'm always the one that gets to pick. So we'll say something. Jeez. It's not like that anymore, but it was at one time.
Yeah. But you know what I mean. Someone asked you, well, how do you feel about hamburgers for dinner?
Yeah.
Laura will ask me that sometimes. Like, how do you feel about something? Can I shove it in my pie hole and fill my belly and then shit later? Then I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But you'd be incredibly frustrated if it was like that all the time. And that's kind of how polls are.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to have dinner. How do you generally feel about hamburgers? Are they A, generally easy, B, generally uneasy, or C, okay? So by the end of it, you probably figure, all right, we're having macaroni and cheese and some potato chips for dinner. But even though all the questions were about hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah.
There, you need a simple yes or no. Have we accomplished anything with this topic? Probably not.
All right.
So let's, unfortunately, we'll have to move on from these big, hot, sweaty polls. But let's talk about some conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory number 672, and this is about arcades. Local arcades under government and casino control to teach gambling to younger kids.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. This had to be brought to the forefront because it's an important issue that's destroying our country. I mean, these neocons and neo-chotsies and...
And the teabaggers.
Yes, and... some other people and whatever. But anyway, if you go into an arcade now, or for years, there's hardly any more arcade games anymore.
Yeah.
Everything is put your quarter in or token so you can get some shitty tickets, so you can get some shitty prizes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gotten worse and worse. And
I haven't been in an arcade probably 20 years.
Well, what made me think of this is we went to that new movie theater they built in up there in Queensgate.
Yeah.
And they have an arcade.
Yeah.
And all it is like a, machines that have tickets. Mm-hmm. There's the one shoveler game where, you know, you put the token in and it drops and that it goes back and forth. So more tokens fall, so you get more tickets.
Yeah.
Like the basketball game. And there's only like one racing game and a shooting game. You know, actually, I don't even think there was a pinball game.
Yeah.
And a lot of, and in the malls now, most of the arcades are like this.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that if you dig deeper, it's a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would it be like that? I mean, sure, you could say maybe because companies aren't making arcade games like they used to in their consoles. But if you really dig deeper, it is casinos are backing these, and same with the government.
Yeah.
Because you get your kids in there, they start gambling early,
mm-hmm.
because now they get the tickets and they get the prizes. So they're just, you know, it's the government and casinos cultivating people, getting them ready for the next big jump.
Yeah.
It's the fleecing of America, I tell you.
Yeah, I really just thought it was because people didn't go to arcades because you can get better graphics on your TV at home, finally.
Maybe.
That might have had something to do with it.
But generally speaking, would you say the arcades? But it's terrible when you go to an they shouldn't even be called arcades anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They should be called, I don't know, ticket-cades or gambling-cades.
Yeah.
At least if you could win...
Kitty casino.
Yeah. At least if you could win money, it would be more respectable.
Yeah.
But it's so frustrating, you know. You take your kids in there, and they want to get all these tickets. So they can get, like, a little thing that's worth a nickel.
Yeah.
And it's always great looking at those prizes. Because there's, like, one, you know, like a
They always look better on the back of the comic book, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like a shitty radio, and it's, like, 1,000 tickets.
Yeah.
Probably if you went to a Walmart.
And, yeah, and your kids got, like, you know, an iPod with them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I want that shitty radio, Dad.
I want that AM radio with the one-inch speaker.
But you have this iPod that I paid $200 for. I want this radio. So you spend $400 to get a $20 radio.
Probably not even $20.
Yeah, maybe.
More like, probably cost them about 50 cents.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in Chuck E. Cheese and the showbiz, I think that's where a lot of that originated.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember I had a whole fleet of those, like an Air Force of those little balsa planes.
Yeah.
That I won one day. Because I played all the video games until I was bored, so I just went and played skee ball until I ran out of money.
Yeah.
Well, until I ran out of tokens. And then that was the only thing that looked like it might actually survive.
Was that like the foam planes?
No, these were balsa wood.
Oh, okay. They have like little weights, like little plastic weights or something?
Yeah, I had gliders and I had ones with propellers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think they stopped making those and went to like styrofoam because the wood was probably too dangerous. No, someone might set themselves on fire or get a splinter.
Yeah. It probably hurts more if you ran up somebody's ass.
This hurts, sir. I ran it up my ass. I need some lube. But going back to the arcade, you walk in there and there's people are basically zombies. They get all excited because I think people just get excited because there's bright, shiny colors.
Yeah.
Like Laura does if you take her to a casino. And then, she always gets mad at me because I do that to her. Because we were at Atlantic City one time, and they have like this huge like Wheel of Fortune. It's a slot machine.
Yeah.
And, like the dumbest thing you could play. And it's huge because it's got like a big wheel. And I told her, I said, you only like that because it's got bright, shiny colors on it. And all those arcade games are like that.
Yeah.
Or the mini casino games. They got like big colors and they're bright and they flash. And
yeah.
You can see the people like, ar. Tickets. All right, maybe that's a little insulting, but it's true. The truth hurts, people. All right.
I think this would be a good spot to introduce our interview.
All right, let's do it. Well, since he just got out of the bathroom, let's welcome Steve Jobs. He's on Skip. It's an offshoot of Skype, if you don't know.
Yeah. Here with me today on the couch is the Bill Gates of Apple, Steve Jobs.
I resent being called the Bill Gates of Apple.
Deal with it. So, tell me about the new iPhone.
Oh, it's a great leap forward. It has two mediocre cameras instead of one, and has a slightly larger screen. Isn't that enough reason to throw out your 6-month-old iPhone 3? Plus, we have sold 1.7 million phones in 3 days. Amazing!
What about the fact that when you hold it like a phone, you lose all reception?
You're holding it all wrong. You have to hold it extraordinary. All consumer devices don't work when you use them in a way that they're designed for. You wouldn't criticize us because you can't jack up your car with it, right?
Yeah, but it's not called an iJack.
Look, maybe you just aren't cool enough to use the iPhone. Holding a phone comfortably is so 1990s. The next thing you know, you'll be wanting to choose your own cell phone carrier or change the batteries.
Speaking of which, Apple has a reputation for being customer-centric, but is selling hard-to-fix devices and coming out with a new generation of gadgets every 6 months really customer-centric? And what about the environmental impact of such planned obsolescence?
Planned what? I've had it with your conservative neo-Nazi communists. We're creating the future. The future! How dare you tell me how to innovate? Innovation is what Apple is all about.
Well, that and stealing other people's ideas.
Damn right, it's amazing! Don't you think that the iPhone with a second camera and a slightly larger screen is innovative? The iPhone 4 is light years ahead of its competition, as long as you actually don't want to use it as a phone.
Is it true that Apple relies on its hardcore, dedicated user base to push mediocre derivative products? I mean, who needs an iPad if they already have an iPhone and an iMac? How many iPad buyers weren't already Apple cult members?
Lots. Tons. Extraordinary. I can't say for sure, but I believe the number was more than 12. Say, what kind of computer are you using?
It's a Lenovo, apparently.
Is that a PC?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. It's a Mac. It hasn't crashed once since the beginning of this interview.
If I pretend that it just crashed, can we move on?
Okay.
So what do you think of the new Google Android?
Do you see that shit? They stole our ideas, threw in a few gimmicks like low cost and good reception, and everybody forgets who was doing it first. What do you call that?
Just desserts?
I call it fascism. They'll be killing babies next.
Oh, thank you for the Bloom County reference.
What reference?
Well, thanks for coming on the couch, Steve.
You're welcome. Feel free to lick it off.
Ew.
All right. Why don't you cut me some slack, Dave?
Yeah, here's the thing. This is kind of a revelation that I had. If you want people to cut you some slack, you have to constantly take slack. It's just, you know, like you said, you can say just about anything you want to anyone at any time, and they just go, oh, that's just Ron.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sort of like that. I can say a lot of things that most people can't get away with because people just expect that from me. They don't expect any better.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody like my sister who never says anything insulting, she can't get away with nothing.
Yeah. All right. And moving on.
Well, so what do you have to say about that?
Well, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I've actually heard anyone say, cut me some slack in a while. Does anyone even say that anymore?
Not really.
I guess maybe they would say something else. But, yeah, you're right. I mean,
Jerks can be rude constantly.
Maybe
it's nice just, people can never be rude.
It's just the expectations that people have of other people.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know if someone's an asshole,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be an asshole, and you're not going to cut them any slack.
Yeah. But if you know somebody's actually nice, then you'll be willing to put up with all sorts of things.
Yeah. But no one ever puts their foot down either.
Yeah.
Because if you do have that slacker, maybe mm-hmm. if someone would kick him in the ass,
yeah,
then you would get your slack back. But then, once he gets the slack back, then would he become a person that gets less slack? Or would you give him more slack in the future, knowing that you've already taken back that slack?
No, he'd probably go back to taking slack. Like I said, slack isn't really something that you give. Slack is something that you take.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the segment, I think. I think that was what I was thinking when I wrote this. It was a while ago.
So you're talking about taking and not giving it.
Yeah, it's sort of like the right of way. It's something that it's not something you have. It's something that someone gives you, okay. Right?
Yeah.
slack is something that you have to take for yourself if you want slack. You know,
okay, yeah.
You get people's expectations down low enough, and you can do just about anything.
But that's somebody that's easy to walk on.
Yeah.
And that maybe they're really nice.
Yeah.
I guess you would be taking their slack and giving it to them at the same time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Because I know plenty of people like that who are, and then they kind of martyr themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I do all this stuff for all these other people and no one ever does anything for me. It's like, well, yeah, haven't you figured it out? Nobody expects you to do all that stuff.
Maybe there's less slack to give and take because people are more high strung now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that they really are.
Yeah, maybe that's just an illusion.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't alive 100 years ago. I don't really know.
Well, I would say that has to be less slack giving then. Maybe there is more slack given now.
I think it depends on what it is you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, going 100 years ago is only 1910.
Yeah.
That seems like yesterday. But anyway, going back to the 1910, keeping this current.
Yeah.
If you had a farm, if you were, well, let's go back to the 1890. That seems a little more relevant.
Yeah.
If you had a farm, I mean, you had to work. I mean, you had to fend for yourself more.
Yeah.
So I would say there would be less slack.
But not necessarily.
Yeah.
It would all depend, because also farming, it's one of those things where you kind of bust your ass, but then you've also got a lot of time where you're really not doing much.
But
you
then
know?
If you're...
Because my dad farmed, I should know this. It's, you know, you bust your, you know, you're putting in like 18-hour days for a couple weeks, and then you're still working, but you're not even really doing 8 hours a day of hard work. You're just doing a lot of little things.
Yeah.
You're still putting in your time, but you're not really busting your ass. And if it doesn't get done today, it doesn't get done.
Yeah. But in those days, if you're completely lazy, I'd say you'd have a better chance to die.
Mm-hmm.
So there, you couldn't have much slack because there's really you couldn't run down to it. Like now, you can have all the slack that you want.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea where I'm going with this. But really, because you can run down to the corner and grab a burger.
Yeah.
Back then, if you gave yourself too much slack, you'd probably wind up hanging from a tree.
Yeah.
Because you'd be hungry, you wouldn't know what to do. I don't know, this is a complex question. I think it's getting even more convoluted as we think about it.
Yes.
That's why we like to make mountains animal wells.
Oh, okay. Now I understood what you said.
Should we end the slack? Should we give ourselves some slack?
Yes, please.
All right.
It's amazing.
Extraordinary. Well, since we're talking about slack, let's talk about the worst food is the best food.
So let's talk about food.
I mean, honestly and amazingly, honestly, this is the worst best food ever. What caught my eye about this, because this is one of these shitty Yahoo articles, you know,
yeah,
where they put on their front page.
Because there's nothing important going on today.
Yeah. Actually, I think even the days that the world is burning, there's stuff going on with this. Well, anyway, this is like the worst burgers in America.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're the worst ones, they're probably the best ones for you.
Yeah.
And they had like a top 10. They had the top 10, but I only picked out a couple.
Yeah.
Like at number 7, the worst fast food burger this guy has is the Wendy's Triple Baconator.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks delicious in the picture.
Yeah. I've just had the regular Baconator, and that's usually more than enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's so much, you know, you can put bacon on anything and it works.
Yeah. And bacon, it's got a lot of salt and a lot of fat, but it really doesn't have very many calories.
Yeah. Well, this burger has 1,350 calories.
That's actually not too bad if you just eat the burger alone. If you ate, like,
yeah, but who just eats the burger alone?
Well, yeah.
And if you want a little bit of fat to go with it, it's only 90 grams of fat and 40 saturated.
Mm-hmm.
And sodium is like 2,700.
Yeah.
But it looks so tasty. Then at number 5, the worst onion straw burger is made by Red Robin. A1 peppercorn burger. And his little description, it's worse than deep-fried Twinkies. Cheeseburgers topped with deep-fried onions. But it looks good.
Yeah. Well, I just had pizza topped with deep-fried onions.
Yeah.
And then I mixed them in with the french fries, too.
But if you're worried about fat, it's only 97 grams of fat. Mm-hmm. And only 5,600 milligrams of sodium.
Mm-hmm.
The number one burger in America, which I don't think this is completely, but it's Denny's Smokin' Q 3-pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2,000 calories and 110 grams of fat. But then here it says, to be fair, this plate is actually three burgers, but it's one meal, and thus fair game. And that's awesome. That's almost like, I don't know. Are you going to buy that?
Do we live near a Denny's?
Yeah, there is one. Yeah.
Is that the one you got arrested in?
No.
Oh.
Only once. But just talking about worse foods, I mean, they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like ice cream.
Yeah, I think the true thing is it's called moderation.
Yeah. Well, moderation, yeah.
I mean, if you eat something like the Triple Baconator for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, yeah, you pretty much deserve to die. Sorry.
Or at least you're asking for it.
No, you deserve it.
That should be the, you know, that movie about the Super Size Me?
Yeah.
About eating McDonald's food? That guy should make this, but he just eats that burger three times a day.
Yeah. Or even better, that plate with the three burgers.
Yeah. That would be great. I mean, that would only be 6,000 calories a day.
Sure.
But then you'd have to start smoking, too.
Yeah.
And you'd have to eat french fries with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, potato chips are good. Everything that's bad for you is good.
Yeah.
It'd be so great just to go on a bender and just eat that stuff for a month.
Oh, I couldn't. I don't think I could manage that. Not right. Not too far from it. I just don't eat a lot in any one sitting. That's all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was a woman. I seen a story. There was a woman. She's trying to become the fattest woman ever.
Yeah.
She weighs like 600 pounds now.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like her, you know, that is bad, but on one hand, it would be kind of fun to do something like that. I mean, if you're in it just to know that you're going to end it soon, at least, you know, you're going to go out on a high note, sort of, until they have to take that wall out of your house to get you out.
Mm-hmm.
So I urge everyone to eat one of these Smokin' Q3 packs at least three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Should we go double team something?
Yeah, it's time to double team. Now, I got to find the other email.
Okay. This is what we call in the business padding.
Yeah, here we go. So, it's time to double team Information Highway Revisited.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves double teaming.
Yep. This is an album by the New Bomb Turks. I didn't write down any information about it as to when it was released.
All right, this album was released in 1994.
Yeah.
And it's like 39 minutes long, I think.
Yeah, but how much of that, like 10 minutes of that is the dead space?
Yeah.
Before the bonus track comes on.
And it's got 15 tracks on it.
And a bonus.
Yeah. And this first single off it, I believe, was Girl Can't Help It.
Yeah.
Which actually
Can help it.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they actually made a video for that.
Yeah.
When MTV still showed videos.
Yeah.
It's funny to think they actually showed that video.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of my least favorite songs on the album. I mean, it's okay, but...
Yeah, it was an obvious attempt at an underground hit, is what I thought. I kind of liked it when they played a little bit slower.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the song was, it was a little too gratuitous. They were trying too hard, but I thought it was a pretty decent song.
Going back to track number one.
Yeah, this has got about one of the best album opening things ever. I mean, from the core to the kind of shrieking.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just an awesome way to start an album.
Yeah. You know, another thing I'd like to say about this album, it's a great album if you've been up really late and you need to drive home. It's a great album for keeping you awake.
Yeah.
You just turn it up and you roll the windows down.
Mm-hmm. And it's really fast and upbeat, but it's not super aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like kill, kill, kill. It's like rock, rock, rock.
Yeah. And of course, Bullshit on Bullshit.
Yeah. That's a really solid song. The lyrics of both of these songs are really great.
Yeah. No, I do like this album overall.
Yeah.
I'd say from track one to track eight, which is up to Girl Can Help It.
Yeah.
You know, all those songs are pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know, if I Only Could and Brother Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Anal Swipe.
Again, they slow it down a little for that song.
Yeah. But it's funny, too.
Yeah, and I love that bass part, the doo doo doo.
That should have been the first single.
I mean, a dance based on wiping your ass.
Yeah, but it's so catchy. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess to slow it down a little more, Fingernail Chomp.
Oh, yeah. At one time, that was probably my favorite song on the album, but I kind of wore it out.
Yeah.
Because I listened to that song so much.
Yeah. Denon and Spent is a good song.
Yeah. It was a little generic sounding, I thought.
Yeah. But I kind of divided this up into a half and half.
Yeah. I think they literally tried to make it like side A and side B.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was a CD, I think they were trying to make a record.
Yeah. And going on... It's when we see, I think we've seen this band in, what, 95, probably?
Maybe 96.
95 or 6.
Yeah.
Down there in Baltimore.
Yeah, they just released their follow-up to this album that wasn't quite as good.
Yeah. And the Queers opened for them.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
Well, they were, like, co-headlining. They alternated. Yeah. One opened, then the other opened, then the one. you know.
But at least I think the queers had a little better equipment than they did.
Oh, man, I don't know, because the Turks, nobody else had a guitar that sounded like that.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think he chose his equipment intentionally.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about the bass player. I think everyone else just had what they had.
They probably did. That place was so tiny, too.
Yeah.
It's great to see that show there.
One of the few times I've actually been terrified of the lead singer of a band. I mean, you just didn't know what he was going to do. He took a guy's hat and stuffed it down his pants.
Yeah.
And he was grabbed somebody's glass, just grabbed them off this other guy's face and was wearing them and dancing around. And it was like, he didn't actually lick the pole, but he was like dancing up and down and slinking, sticking his tongue out.
And you can't forget the highlight is when they tried to cover Jailbreak.
Yeah. And the guitar player couldn't sing and play at the same time. He just kept screwing it up.
Going back to the album now. Track 9 was Gotta Sink a Feeling.
Yeah, I really think that's the album's center point.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really the high point of the whole album.
I really do like Grandpa Atomic, though.
Yeah.
It's a really good song. I mean...
Yeah, and, you know, the Donuts Free line. Looks like America's doomed to be a big bully.
Grandpa Atomic is...
Well, what I actually had written is that I like some of the lyrics from that song, but the album kind of starts getting generic at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's about what I was going to say.
And Never Will is definitely, like, completely generic. It seemed like they put most of their good songs on the first side.
Yeah.
If they'd have moved one of their really strong songs into the middle of side B, it would have worked. It would have made the album just about perfect.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I'd say... You
and
know,
also, maybe if they'd left out one or two songs.
Yeah. I mean, on that album, the first 10 songs are probably the best that you're going to get. And the rest of it, you know, I could say I've listened to the last part of the album at least.
Yeah, and like Apocalyptic Dipstick is a good song.
Yeah.
I like that one, making fun of all the hippie bands.
Yeah.
Lying on Our Backs is pretty generic, but I love the harmonica works.
Yeah.
I Got Your Bitter End is, again, it's kind of a generic song. I probably would have cut that one, actually.
Yeah.
I think it would have made the album stronger.
Yeah.
Again, they saved, like, one really good song for the end.
Yeah. Which, if you're listening to that straight through, mm-hmm. you might not get to it.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
overall, a solid album.
Yeah.
But I'd say definitely the second half is a little
weak.
Yeah. But still, it's good.
Yeah. It's possibly one of the best punk rock albums of the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, the best album by the... Well, I don't know. Maybe Pissing Out the Poison might have been a little better.
Yeah.
That was just a collection of singles, though.
Yeah.
And it kind of wore, I thought.
Yeah, it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
I mean, the tough thing about a band like that, it's not... I mean, you're almost... You're pigeonholed to a certain extent. I mean, what can you really do different each time? Or
yeah. Well,
you got to vary it.
Like, you can do like the Ramones and just put out the same album, and I was perfectly happy with that.
Yeah.
I would have been happy if they just kept trying to redo this album, but it just been managed to pull it off each time.
Yeah.
Because after this, they put out that album on Epitaph, whatever, Scared Straight.
Yeah.
And that had that one really good song, the album opener, that they had the video for.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the album was just so, eh.
Yeah, this is my favorite album by them by far.
Yeah. And the first album they put out, Destroy Old Boy, to me it sounded like they were trying too hard, trying to be like the ultimate breakneck speed punk rock band. They were better when they were kind of mid-tempo.
Yeah. Yeah, longevity in a punk band is very hard to come by.
Yeah.
I mean.
But also, I think the lyrics actually started to suffer in the later ones.
Yeah.
That, you know, the early ones, they really had something to say, and they were really creative and had lots of great rhymes and things.
Well, by 99, the drummer left.
Yeah.
Because I think he was suffering from exhaustion.
Well, actually, I think it was because he had graduated from, what do you call post-college school?
Oh, postgraduate or whatever?
Yeah. He'd gone to graduate school and had graduated. So he wanted
to go
on to his career. You know, he was, like, pre-med.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know if he's a doctor or what, but.
From punk band to doctor.
Yeah, why not?
So let's wrap the double teaming up, shall we?
Yeah.
So if you don't have this album, even though it's only 16 years old now at this point.
Yeah.
It's one of the better punk albums out there.
Yeah. And also, the singer has a new book out. Yeah, We Never Learn on weneverlearnbook.com. And tell them that we sent you there, and you'll have no idea who the fuck you're talking about.
You say, stop harassing me. Stop, please. All right. Well, we'll have to double team another album here soon.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll actually think about double teaming something from the past 10 years. I'm just saying. You know, while we're talking about music, I'm going to go make a broad and general statement right now. And I have to say it. Top 40 radio is probably the best radio that you can listen to. You know, and you know why I say this?
What, the train wreck factor?
No. Now, because the reason I say that is because with Top 40 radio, for about a month, you're going to get the same crap, but it's constantly refreshing.
Yeah.
Unlike regular like rock radio, where they're still playing the same Led Zeppelin songs, the same Nirvana songs, even, you know, like the modern rock station.
Yeah.
They won't venture into any other the other songs.
Well, that's the one thing about that one local station, 98.5.
Yeah.
The Peak. They have absolutely no sense of what songs go together, and they're constantly playing stuff I haven't heard in 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Well, I just say that because, you know, you listen to the rock station, and like, oh, we're going to play an Ozzy song.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much guess off the top of your head which one it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually has a new album out, so you might get that song, but you're either going to get, what, Bark at the Moon or... Crazy Train, probably, or something like that. It's just, at least the Top 40 radio is fresher.
Yeah.
At least every month.
Yeah. Well, you can always call in. It's like, yeah, you know John Lennon? I want to hear you play One Down, Three to Go by the Meat Man. It's like, I don't think we have that.
Well, it's not so much about you got to play obscure stuff.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you can play, you know... What about other hits? How about Freeze Frame by J. Giles Band, for crying out loud? That was a hit too, you asshole.
Yeah, instead of Centerfold all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, with all the diversity is out there and where you can get your music now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know they're run by corporations, and, you know, when you get corporations like that involved with entertainment, forget about it.
Yeah.
Because we got to do what's safe, what people know. And you wonder why people are not listening to the radio.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's what happens is, on one hand, people do choose, but they're not really offered a choice, so they turn away from the whole medium.
Yeah. And it's terrible because you can pretty much guess what songs are coming on. It's not a question. I mean,
you set your watch by it.
Yeah.
So, it's 7 after. It's Black Dog.
Or if you're listening to a rock station and say we're gonna play the Black Crowes coming up next.
Yeah.
You know, 9 out of 10 times it's gonna be Hard to Handle.
Yeah. Or She Talks to Angels.
Yeah, that would be the one. But I mean, I'm not the biggest Black Crowes fan, but yeah. I know they released more than one album.
Yeah. Oh, they might play the re-recorded version of Hard to Handle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, with the horns in it.
Woo. Yeah.
That's about all they play. All right, I just wanted to make that broad statement.
Okay.
But listen, you want to talk about camping?
Sure. Camping season is here.
Yeah, because it is warmer and people are camping more.
Yeah.
You know, camping out for iPhones for like a week or 3 days.
Yeah.
So the question I ask is, what is wrong with people that are camping out in front of stores? And not just for phones. I mean, for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, really, maybe with the iPhone stuff, but movie-wise, it probably was Star Wars was the last one people were camping out for.
Yeah.
I can't believe people would even camp out for a movie.
Yeah.
You can just show up at a later show.
Camping out for a concert when it's going to be kind of a drugged-out hippie 3-day thing anyway, you're going to be camping once you get inside, okay. So you just start camping a day or two early. But for anything else, I can't really see the point. Especially in this day and age when you can just get stuff on the internet if you really want it.
But, Dave, it's sold out. I want to be the first to get it. But this is two-pronged, too, because this feeds into the whole assholism thing.
Yeah.
Like, with the iPhone, you know, people waiting in line, then they sell it, you know, they get it, and they sell it on eBay.
Yeah.
And they're, like, going for $1,200 on eBay.
Yeah. You know, something that you'll be able to buy in, like, 6 weeks, probably.
Yeah, or probably 3, if that. So the person camping in front of the store is bad enough, and the person that's buying the $1,200 phone...
Yeah, they're the enabler.
Yeah.
The codependent.
What kind of person does that? I gotta have it right now, so I'm gonna pay $1,200 for it.
Yeah.
You have to feel like an ass 3 weeks later... I just got this phone for $200.
Yeah.
I mean, people did that with Xboxes and especially around Christmas, you know, with the Wii and things like that.
And a lot of times those shortages are intentional.
Yeah, it is intentional. It has to be.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's not, you know, the law of averages. But most of the time, yeah, it's an intentional ploy.
Yeah.
It generates publicity.
For all the marketing and hype that's going into something like this, and every time it's like this. Now, I mean, every time, and they're like, well, there are shortages.
Yeah.
Well, really, in this day and age and the way things are made, should there really be a shortage?
Well,
you know what
I mean,
the demand is going to be.
Yeah. Now, I can understand sometimes you have a release working in manufacturing like this with new products. You have a release date. And you can push it back once or twice, but as you're starting to manufacture this thing, there's no guarantee you're going to have enough parts ready.
Yeah.
So you can either push back the date, or you can just release what you got.
Yeah.
But,
that's, you know, perfectly true, and that happens.
Yeah.
But for things like this, I just don't buy it.
Yeah, it happens too frequently.
Yeah. Well, it's all the time. I mean, it's with everything.
Yeah.
You know, like they said, well, we can't keep up with Wii's. Really? Mm-hmm. You can't keep up with Wii's?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that the people were killing themselves in that factory.
Yeah.
But come on, you can get around a few suicides, can't you?
Yeah. I mean, robots never call in sick. No. Robots don't throw themselves off a seven-story building.
Yeah. It is intentional, and I think they only make so many at a time because it makes some kind of buzz.
Yeah.
You try and
I think maybe they are making as many as they can. It's just they could wait and say, okay, we're going to release it in August instead of June.
Yeah.
And wait until they have enough to supply everybody.
Yeah, but see, I don't even buy that because this phone is out now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they probably already have the next one already probably in development.
Yeah.
You know, they have the prototype probably already in their hands.
Yeah.
And they know what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they probably got to work out a few kinks and they'll build their production, you know.
Yeah.
Prototype.
Well, I got to worry. What I wonder about is all the people who camped out for the iPad. And
yeah.
Now the iPhone comes out and it's more powerful with twice as much memory.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, three times better and it's cheaper. It's like, hey, I need to get this iPad out of my ass. Hang on.
They sold iPads. I think it was just like the hardcore people.
Yeah.
Or maybe the people that don't have common sense.
Yeah.
You know, they bought it. Actually, I think the people that bought it are probably like your hardcore, you know, mentally unstable Mac cult people.
Yeah.
Than like everybody in the media or the computer reviewers.
Yeah.
Because you don't really hear much about it.
Yeah, it was here and it's gone.
Yeah.
Like a good fart, right?
Yep. Then in a few months we'll say, oh, guess what? iPad 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
I just don't buy the whole...
The iPad 2 has the solution to the show Lost.
Yeah. I don't buy it anytime someone goes, well, I can understand if you make a product mm-hmm. and you put it out there and it gains more popularity.
Yeah.
Then you run out, and maybe you can't keep up with demand at that point.
Yeah.
But when you're building and building up, then you say, huh, you know what, we're only going to make a few of these.
Yeah.
Bullshit, I tell you. It's a conspiracy with the government and the casinos.
Yeah.
All right, let's stop beating that horse. Hey, I think actually we went through all our crap, didn't we?
Yeah.
Hey, how are we doing on time?
We're on time.
Okay. Do you have any random stuff you want to cover?
No.
Really?
None.
Well, I have some. You remember this thing that's called the internet?
No.
A series of pipes and tubes, whatever it's called. Yeah, here's my notes here. Hulu is rolling out their subscription-based service now.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Subscription-based plus service.
Ah.
Hulu is now offering a paid subscription service that streams 720p video content across various devices, including televisions, computers, and smartphones.
Yeah.
But remember, if you got an iPhone, don't go over that 200, what is it? Yeah, whatever. 1 gig or 200 meg.
Don't go over the limit.
Yeah. Which you will easily streaming video.
Yeah.
Another conspiracy, I tell you. But it's CEO Jason Kilar. It says it's not a replacement for Hulu.com.
Yeah.
So now the only video up on Hulu.com is probably old Alf episodes.
Well, we're in heaven. If they had Red Green on there, man.
Do you know how much this will cost you a month?
$2.83.
You would be wrong, sir. It's $10 a month.
Hmm.
Something else to look forward to paying for. So with all the other subscriptions that you have in your life, you're probably paying $1,000 a month for everything.
Yeah.
So it'll be $10 a month, then you go over your iPhone plan, that's another $60,
mm-hmm.
divided by the divorce and blah, blah, blah. Oh, I know you'll be excited about this. Twilight Eclipse is opening this week.
Yeah.
Aren't you excited?
Yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah, I've really crashed in the last 5 minutes.
I can tell. It's because you don't have your Twilight fix.
Yeah, I know. God, I haven't masturbated over that red hot young stud in like, what, almost 5 minutes now.
All right, well, let's wrap this hamburger and hot dog stand up. What do you think?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, remember, aggressivecouch@gmail.com. Of course, aggressivecouches on iTunes.
And you can actually, you can send to ron@aggressivecouch.com or dave@aggressivecouch.com.
Oh, yeah. That works now.
Yeah. I have, I need to send you that information, too.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
You should stay up for another day. I think it'd be good for you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time on the couch.
Good night.